In Ori Chaim, in Simen Tov Tzadi, it's in Hilchos Pesach, it's brought down over there, but it says over that the minog on Pesach is to read Shir Hashirim. It says so too, Noyagim Loima Rus, the Shvuas. We're going to read Megillas Rus on Shvuas. What's the reasoning why we read Megillas Rus on Shvuas? Zok the Mishnah Brura. Rus b'shvuas, the isa b'yalkut. It states the medrash. More in your rus eitzal atzeres. Why does rus connect to shvuas? She nikras b'zman matan Torah, that should be read during matan Torah. What's the connection? L'amedchot, coming to teach us. Shaloi nitna Torah elai de yisurim v'ayni. The reason why we're reading Rus is because that story teaches us that the Torah is given through Yisurim V'ayni, means hardships and difficulties. If you look up the Medrash even continues, and the Medrash writes, Amra Torah, the Torah itself said, L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, ten chelki b'shevet shel oini, my portion, let it be with the rod of poverty. She'im ashirim oiskin be, because if it has to do with wealth, and the wealthy people are being oisik in me, you misgeyim, they're gonna have a gaval like a gaiva, and it's not gonna really work the real level of taira. But if they're broken and they're poor, hey, Miss Askin be, then they're gonna have a genuine devotion to be Isaac in me, and that's the Klal Yisrael. It's gonna be Zaycha to true levels in Torah and Mitzvahs. This is one idea of why we read Rus on Shavuos. It teaches us how we're kind of Torah. And that we spoke about, I think, last week in Parashat Chukaisai, how we have to be amal and toil in Torah. There's another reason brought down in our Arachayin Simen Tov Tzadi Dalid, the Shari Tshuva over there writes. The reason why we read Rus on Shavuos is because David HaMelech was nifter on Shavuos, and he says in Cheshbon, Chayyim is born on Shavuos too. And since Megillas Rus is miyaches, it gives us the whole yichus of the birth of David HaMelech, so that's why we read it. And Chayyim, what does that mean? How do you understand that? Why? Because he's born and was nifter on Shavuos. Is that a reason to read about his yichus? Very strange. What does that mean? So it could be there's a much deeper oimik in this reasoning that I'd like to talk about. The whole inyan of Leidas David HaMelech is a gevaldik kapella. It's something that we have to realize, that if you go into the story and understand David HaMelech's birth from all the generations that he came from, it's a plia atzuma. First of all, he was born from Rus, like we see in the Megillah. Melech Mashiach comes from Rus, it's a Moyavi, and only al pi Kabbalah that we darshin Moyavi is Osir, V'loy Ma'aviyah, so she's Muteres, so that's the only reason why we have a David HaMelech. This is the family that he comes from? Like the Gemara in Yevamos writes, at Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Amalei Doyeg HaDoymi, Ad She'ata Mashil Alav, before you even ask Im Hagunu L'Malchus, if he's able to rule as a king, Im Lav, Shol Olav, ask about David, im roi love it bekahal. Is even mutta to kahal Hashem. Im lav. My time at the Kasim Rus Amavia. He came from Rus, a Moyavim. The Torah says Moyavim are not allowed to enter Klal Yisrael. This is what the Gemara Yavamas brings down. That on his, why are you worrying about if he could be a king? Is he even mutter in Kahal Yisrael? And this is what David HaMelech was born from. The last five psukim in Megillas Rus is Miyachas, the whole birth of David HaMelech. It begins, Eila told those parats. Parats, Hoyladus, Chetzra, and Chetzra, Hoyladus, Rom, all the whole chronological order of the birth. And the last few words is Yishai Hoyladus David. It's the whole sequence. Parats means the Elta Zayd of David HaMelech, Eila told those parats. Was born from Peretz. That was the great-grandfather. Great-great-great-grandfather. Peretz. You know who Peretz came from? That was the story of Parshas Vayeshev. The mice of Yehuda and Tamar. The Perek Lamed Ches. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayirel Yehuda. Yehuda saw Tamar. Vayachshevel Lezoyna. He thought she's a Zoyna. Vayeta Le'adera. So he went over to her and asked her if he could have relations with her. And this is where the Pasuk brings down. In Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayhi Be'ez Lidita, she was giving birth, she had twins, and one of the kids, Vayikah Shmoy Peretz. So the Elta Zayda Peretz came from this Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar. Pilei Plum. This is David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kaya. A third horror. David's birth in itself, David HaMelech himself, from his own father Yishai. We all know the famous story in Shmuel Aleph and Perek Tes Zayin, that Shmuel HaNavi came, he's looking for a king for Klal Yisrael. So he came to Yishai's family, and Yishai brought out his seven sons. And he started lining them up, one after the other. Vayoyme Hashem el Shmuel. The Rebbeinu Shem told Shmuel, Al tabet el marehu. Don't look at his beautiful appearance. Maybe one of the seven sons is lining up. Don't look at his beautiful appearance. Vel gvoya koy mosoy, in his tall stature. Ki ma'astiyu. I reject him. That's not the right one. Ki ha'odom yirelei nayim. A person only sees with his eyes. Hashem Yirul Levav, Hashem sees the heart. That's not the right one. And then you brought the next son, Vayivireyu, next one, and each one was disqualified. Shmuel said, you have no more sons? There's no one left? Hatamu on the Arim, they're all over? Vayoyime said, Oit Shor HaKotan, I have one leftover youngster. Hine Roya Batzai, he's a shepherd out with the animals. So he said, "Vayim Shmuel, Shulcha v'Kachano, go send him and bring him. Let me see that one." Vayishlach v'Yivyeu, they brought him, and right away, Vayoyim Hashem, the Baruch Hashem told Shmuel Anavi, "Kum Moshcheyu Kizehu, he's the one." What does this mean? Why didn't Yishai bring him in the first place? Shmuel Anavi's coming. Show all eight sons. He's the last one that's coming after everything's over. So the Medrash, the Chazal that says, Pilei Plum is Chazal, Ba'azai State. Chazal say that when Yishai, Kishabo Yishai Ishta, when Yishai had relations with his wife and David HaMelech was born, he didn't chop right away. He thought it was his Shifcha. Obviously, he was married right to Shifcha too. And he thought it was his Shifcha. It was only afterwards he chopped it was his wife. So his episode psul in the Bia. And in Mela, Yishai held his whole life until this point, until David HaMelech was actually anointed as Melech Yisrael, Yishai always thought he was apostle. He was my son that I had without the right kavanas. He's apostle. It was only at this point that the Rabbeinu Shlom said, he's the Melech, ki zehu, and he realizes the kashra. So could you imagine, David HaMelech, his actual birth in itself, came from such a situation. How do you understand this? And two more points that I want to ask. We're learning it, we learned it ourselves in Maseches Ksubos. David HaMelech, who gave birth to his own son, Shlomo HaMelech, the Gemara asked enough tests, Mipnei ma lo yasruha, his wife should be asa to him. The Gemara has to work out how she's muteret. This is Leidas Melech Shlomo? From a place where the Gemara says maybe she's even asa, he's not even muter to his wife? And one last tahara. Rus Hamoyevia, who is the mother, great-great-grandmother of David. She was a stam, a goy that was Megaya. She came from Moyavi. How are the Moyavim? Where does Moyav come from? We know the Mice of Loit with his daughters. Stoyim got turned over. They thought there's no one left in the world. And Loit's own daughters had relations with their father, and Moyav was born, Meyav. So that's also the birth of David HaMelech, from a Moyav. Loit with his daughters. This is a handful of questions that seem so difficult in understanding Leidas David HaMelech. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis says something fascinating that really starts answering this horror. Omar Rab Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Mipnei ma loy nimshecha Malchus Beis Shaul. Why wasn't Malchus Beis Shaul continued? Didn't have a continuity to go on further. Mipnei shaloy hoya boit shum doifi. Because there was nothing wrong in Malchus Beis Shaul. So that's why it couldn't go on. The Amar Rab Yochanan Mishur Rab Shimon ben Yoy Tzadok. Ei mamidim parnes al atzibur. We don't have a leader. Appoint the leader on Klal Yisrael. Ella im kein kupa shal shrotzim tulula loy me'achurav. Unless he has hanging on him, on his back, a box of shrotzim, some garbage that's hanging on him, only then he has the ability to be a leader. If he has a bag of garbage on him, shim tezuach daiti, because if he ever becomes a balgayev in his position, we tell him, Chazor l'achrayach. Turn around, look what you're carrying on your back. And all of a sudden, this guy even disappears. And Rashi explains, what does this mean? Malchus Beis Shaul didn't have a hemshich because there was no doifi. No doifi, there was nothing wrong there. But you need a doifi, says Rashi. Aval David, meirus hamoyevia asa. David's perfect. He's the candidate that can have the Malchus forever. David Melch is so chai v'kayo. Because he has doifi. There's something wrong there. It's a kupa shal shrotzim. There's garbage by him. He's the perfect candidate. This is what the Gemara says in Yuma. The Shaila is, what does this mean? You're telling me I have a choice. I need to give someone a position. I can get someone that has a lot of yichus, like for the Briskerov's family, that's meyuchus all the way, or I can get a random guy with no yichus. Says the Gemara, the random guy is much better than the meyuchus. What does this mean? And as I state the Gemara. What we're seeing from over here is a gewaltig yisoid in Yiddishkeit. This is something we have to know. It touches all areas of Yiddishkeit. It's not just in Malchus. It's not just in a parnes, meaning a leader. It's in any area of success. You want to be successful in any area as being a Yid? This is a gewaltig yisoid that we're realizing. Let's talk about in the world of Malchus to understand the Yisoy that's being taught. In the regard to a Melech, which that's where specifically we're seeing this Yisoy. Be'etzen, it's an echad, is a mitzvah in Parsha Shoiftim, in Perik Yud Zayin, Soyim Tosim Alech HaMelech, appoint a king. Yet, mitzad sheni, we know Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael and for years didn't have a king. And once they asked for a king, it was a taina on them. What's the pshat? How do you understand that? If you look in Sefer Shmuel, Periches, when Klal Yisrael asked for a king, Vayoyim Hashem El Shmuel, Shema b'kol om l'cho asher yoyimu elecho. You should listen to what they're asking for. They want a king? Listen. Ki loy oyscha ma'asu. They're not disgusted with you by asking for a king. Ki oysi mo'asu. Nimloy chaleyam. They're disgusted with me. They don't want me the king. This is what Hashem said. Klal Yisrael is disgusted with me. They don't want me as a melech. What this means is, what we see clearly in this pasuk, is that in essence, Malchus existed in Klal Yisrael all the years. Even way before they actually had their first king. But you know who the melech was? It was the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Bari Olam was the melech. Lashem Hamlucha. Klal Yisrael doesn't need a king like nations need a king. All the nations of the world need a king because they need a leader to go to war, for mishpat, all the laws, everything. They need a king. Klal Yisrael has the Rabbeinu Shlomo with his Torah and they don't need a king. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is our melech. It was a taina when we asked for a king. When we do appoint a king, we have to have a king that's total batel umavutel to Bari Olam, who's the real king. That's the only way we're shayach to Malchus. You want a melech? It has to be the right candidate that's holding a kupa shel shrotzim on his back, a bag of garbage that'll never be tazuach da'it and have a gaiva of think of himself as somebody, but rather he'll be batel umavutel. I'll be a complete reflection of Bari Olam in him. That's what we'll see in our king. This is the Yisoy that we're seeing. And that's why David HaMelech, like we were asking all these Ha'oros, that he came from such an uncertain background, such a pickbook in his whole Yichus, every little area of his birth, from his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents, everybody. But that the Teretz is, Dafka Mishpocha Shel Doifi. There's something wrong. Kupa Shel Shrotzim. That's the right candidate. Because he will go and be bottle to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, who's our real melech. It could be, throughout davening, like you said today, in Yalav Yava even, every time we mention David HaMelech, we always add the word Avdecha. V'zichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha. Always put in, he's your Eved. V'semach David Avdecha. We always throw when we talk about David, Avdecha. It could be this is the Pashup Shah. When we have to talk about David being a Melech, we don't mean Chas V'Shalom taking over Bnei Shalom. He's Avdecha. Total Batel Mevutel to Bnei Shalom. The Yisoy that we're seeing here is that when it comes to Yiddishkeit, if you have a peckle, if you have a bag of garbage on you, you have an uncertain situation, uncertain background, uncertain family, uncertain whatever it is, whatever it's coming from, the uncertainty, the doifi, the kupa shel shrotzim, the garbage that comes with, that makes you a perfect candidate for greatness. That's good for the person that could be great. Specifically him. I want to read you something. Someone gave this to me last night, Bashkocha Pratas Mamash, because it Mamash connects to what we're talking about. I think a guy wrote this, but you have to hear what the guy wrote. Did you ever notice how Orthodox Jews couldn't care less what the world thinks of them? Not a little, not secretly. They truly, completely, deeply don't care. They'll walk through an airport looking like they time traveled out of the 1850s. They pray out loud in a hoodie or a hat while people whisper. The men grew beards, wear hats, let their titties hang out. The women cover the hair with wigs, scarves, and hats like queens from another world. They'll show up at your office 2 days late because it was a holiday that no one ever heard of. And they won't even apologize because you can't even imagine what their life is like. You can't imagine what it's like to disappear from the world fully every single week. Their Sabbath comes in and they're gone, just gone. No phones, emails, group chats, news, and no chaos. You could be calling them 100 times, the world could be in flames and they won't pick up. And they won't even know. And honestly, they don't even care. While the world is busy arguing over the next divisive topic, they're sitting around their table with their 8 kids, singing 1,000-year-old songs, wearing the nicest clothes for no one but each other. They're eating and talking about their weekly Torah portion or current holiday, walking to their synagogue in the rain without an umbrella because it's forbidden. It's not just that they are screen-free or tech-free. They are world-free. And it doesn't even stop there. You can't imagine what it's like to live on a calendar that makes no sense to anyone else. To be at an office when no one else is. To fast for 24 hours, 25 hours on a random Tuesday in July or September. To miss concerts, meeting, deals because it's their holiday. To need kosher food and say no to 98% of restaurants, not because you're picky, but because there is a God and He is watching. You might think they're disconnected from the world, but somehow many of them still manage to own buildings, run multi-million dollar companies, donate billions to charity, they raise big families, and they live rich lives. They vanish for Sabbath, disappear for holidays, leave early Fridays, and yet they're still on the top. Still getting it done. How? Because when you live with clarity, you waste less time chasing noise. Because when you live with values that are ancient, you're not shaken by what's trending. Because your values were already tested again and again and they won. Because when you know who you are, you don't need to keep proving it. They don't care what people think. No, not because they're rude or arrogant, but because they already have something better than approval, conviction. Their compass doesn't point to likes or clicks. It points to Sinai. And once you've stood at Sinai, even in memory, you just see the world differently. So yeah, they're not ashamed, not of their prayers, not of their outfits, not of the way they live, and not the rules that guide them. They're not trying to be different. They're trying to stay loyal to something eternal. In a world obsessed with changing, they're still holding on. And that kind of confidence, that kind of freedom, you can't buy it and you can't fake it. You can't even imagine it. But they live it every day proudly and openly, and they wouldn't trade it for anything. But this is the aside of Yiddishkeit. The more different you are, the more garbage you come from, the more kupa shall shrutzim, that you can become more bottle in your position, the more you're a candidate for greatness and success. This is the aside that we see from David HaMelech. And this could be the underlying reasoning that's being brought down of why we read Rus on Shavuos. The day of Kabbalah HaTorah, we want to tell you about Leidas David. The Shari Tshuva says because today he was born a Nifter, but it's much deeper. David is our prime example of from nothingness that causes greatness. That's the perfect candidate to become great. Shaul HaMelech's Malchus didn't continue. Dafka David's did. David had a kupa shel shrotzim, a bag of garbage from all his different parents, grandparents, and all the way back. That's the perfect candidate for greatness. That's Malchus. And that's Yiddishkeit. Yiddin are not based on the outside world, all the PR, popularity, none of that. We don't look to see what's going on outside. That's not what produces greatness. The more nothing I come from, and the more butthol I'll be to Borei Olam, the more great I'm destined to become. This is the Yesod that we're reading here, Sefer Rus on Shavuos, to teach us on the day of Kabbalah HaTorah the secret to your greatness. You know, based on this, we can understand very well, there's a famous Ramah in Yoredeya Simen Pei Aleph. Everybody heard of this Ramah, where the Ramah writes, Cholov Nachris Kecholov Yisrael. Be'etzem, milk of a goy is like milk of a yid. Mikol Mokam Lo Yaniku Tinok Min HaNachris. But still, don't nurse your child from a goyish lady. Im Efshav Yisrael, if you're able to have a Jew nursing your child. Techolov Nachris Metamtam Alev. It's going to make a timtum in your heart. Umoylin Loy Teva Ra. And create a bad Teva in the child. The Vilna Goyin on this Shulchan Aruch writes, where is the source for this halacha? State of Vilna Goyin, Mikoyroi Mimoshe Rabbeinu. The source is Moshe Rabbeinu. Where over there we saw, Karasinacha Isha Minekes Mina Ivrias. Bring me a nursing mother for the Jews. So the famous question that everybody asks is that Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, he's a peh. That's also the Dabir Mashchina. It's a Gemara in Saita and Daf Yud Beis also. A mouth that's going to talk to the Shechina, how can it be Yinuk, Midabar Tomei? Go nurse from a Goyish mother? But what does that have to do with every child? This is Shulchan Aruch talking about every mother. Don't nurse your child from a Goy. Every mother, the source is because Moshe spoke to the Shechina. What about a regular kid? So based on this Yisoid, we're seeing much better. It's not stam, like people always say over, you have to yearn for the highest levels of greatness. It's much deeper than that. Based on this, it's kipshutoi mamish. If you're regular, you have more destiny to go become peh medabri amashchina. You have more chances on that level of greatness when you're coming from a nothingness. And therefore, of course, salok and shulchan aruch. For every random yid, don't nurse from the goy. Because the more random the yid is, the more shaychus he has in Yiddishkeit to become great. You know, we find something fascinating. It's in this week's parasha. Parashas Bamidbar goes through the numbers, the calculations of all the Yidden. If we rewind to Parashas Vayigash, you'd find that we talk about Bnei Binyamin that went down to Mitzrayim. Binyamin had 10 sons. Bela, Vecher, Ashbel, and Perek Mem Vav, Pasach of Aleph. 10 sons. Two Psukim later, Pasach of Gimel, it says Bnei Don went down to Mitzrayim. His son was Chushim, one child. Binyamin had 10 sons, Dan had one son. Yet in our parsha, when we talk about the numbers of Klal Yisrael traveling in the Midbar, the total of Matei Binyamin, 35,400. Two psukim later, Machane Don, Shnayim Vishishim Elef, 62,700. Don came from one child. There was one son that Don had, Chushim. And we all know Chushim was deaf and mute. He couldn't even speak. So in our language, he was a handicapped child. And that one son, Chushim, produced that now when they're in the midway after Mitzrayim, they're holding by 62,000 people. On the other hand, the family Binyamin, who you can imagine, 10 sons going down to Mitzrayim from Binyamin, yet all the total was, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they traveled in the Midbar, is only 35,000. Almost double the amount from Adon over Binyamin. And the Chofetz Chaim makes this diuk. The Chofetz Chaim says, you see from here, what we think, oh wow, Binyamin, a huge mishpacha, for sure, destined for who knows what. And the answer is fakir. Yiddishkeit doesn't work like that. From a Don who only had a chushim, and yet in population, Klal Yisrael is made up almost double from his mishpacha. Which is mamish, the same yisoid that we're seeing over here in regard to the lesson that Megillas Rus teaches us about Kabbalah Satorah. I want to share with you a Mari Dikamaisa. I came upon this by, I can say by chance, even though everything's Ashkacha Pratis, but someone was asking me, where's the Makar for the famous Maisa that they have over? They say about Maisa with Akdamas. And that famous Maisa of Akdamas, where is it brought down? Where's the earliest source? So I had someone research it for me, and they came out that the Maisa is recorded from a sefer called Birchas Avram, from Avram Abish. He was nifter in the 1760s, I think it was. He was a Rav in Frankfurt. He took over after the Hafla was nifter. He became the next Rav in the town. You all know about the Hafla. So upon him, after the Hafla, he, Rabbi Avram Abish, became the Rav. So in his sefer Birchas Avram, he brings down the famous Maisa of Akdamos that people say over. There's a whole background story. It's not for now. But Akapana, what I came upon by chance, was the beginning of Avram Abish's life. Here's a Yid who wrote Shuvas, and it was a Rav of Frankfurt. He took over after the Hafla. It must have been an Odom Godol Ad Ma'id. I want to read you the story of his beginning. I don't know if I can read the whole thing. But Akapana, just quick points. It's from Tyrus from Kalman. You can read it yourself probably if you get a hold of it. Avram Abish was born. His father was a Rav and a Grace of Talmud Chacham. And all his brothers, Matcha was Avbezdin, all the brothers of Mamash, big Talmud Chacham. This Avram Abish was born and he wasn't even able to read. They couldn't even teach him how to read. It was before they, you know, had all the diagnosis of dyslexia or anything else that person might have. And they just pushed it. They tried teaching, and nothing happened. They couldn't teach him. Eventually, his parents realized that Avram Abish is going to be different. He has a different calling in life, and he has to become a carpenter. And they put him, they apprenticed him by a carpenter to learn the trade of wood and nails, and that's where they put him. Avram Abish inside was very bitter. He came from a family of greatness, and he saw what his brothers were like, and he really wanted to learn Torah, but he just didn't have the ability. Nothing went in. Absolutely nothing. And his heart was full of pain. It came time, he had to marry him off. And you can imagine who's marrying him. But what happened was, there was a daughter of Rabbi Leo Cohen from Mezrich, who was poor like anything. And they realized, you know something? If we can't promise a dowry, we have to compromise in Shidduchim. And they were willing to take him as a future son-in-law. But this guy knew nothing. Avram Abish, zero. It was coming close to the chasana, and there was a minug in those days that the chasam led the benching. But he didn't know how to bench. He couldn't read. So his brothers started teaching him how to bench. Say Rabbi Yisai Mevelim Benchin. Yehi Shem Hashem Avar. They try to teach him. And they say, it says over in the story, thousands of times they try to drill it into his brain to by heart to know how to bench because he couldn't read. Rabbi Yisai Mevelim Benchin. Yehi Shem Hashem Avar. And he would get mixed up and mamash flop. And they were drilling him, trying to get it into his brain. Finally, it came the day before the chasana. And the family traveled to Mezrich. And they rented hotel rooms there, and the family got together to have a meal. And the next day was going to be the chasana. So after their supper, they said, you know what? Avram Abish, you should bench for us because, you know, tomorrow is the real thing. Let's practice tonight. So he started off Rabbi Yisai Mevelim Benchin, and he got through a few lines. And Imamish, after that, he went blank. And he couldn't get out the rest of the words. And you can imagine what he felt like. And his brother, who was a great Talmud Chacham, Av Bezdin, who spent so much time with him, started yelling at him. I spent so much time with you. How could you not remember? I don't understand what's going on with you. And he was so mad at him, he just totally gave it over his head. And his father said, stop persecuting the poor kid. Leave him alone, you know. Because Avram Abish jumped out of his seat and he ran away. And no one knew where he went, but he ran around all the way to the end of the town. And after he finally was totally exhausted, he plopped down by a tree and he fell asleep. All of a sudden he saw standing a bunch of people around him. And an elderly man said to him, Avram Abish, I want to let you know, he's crying, mamash, before he fell asleep, he was crying like a baby. I want to let you know your tefillos were mekubal by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Hashem heard your tefillos, and you're going to be granted wisdom. You'll see, you're going to open a chumash, and you'll be able to read it, and your life is going to be transformed. The Torah is being given to you as a true gift. He woke up Avram Abish, and he got his bearings of where he is, and he realized it was a dream. And he realized it's time for Davin Shachris. So he ran to the shul, and he took out a sitter, and he opened it up, and he saw he still couldn't read. He took out a chumash, and he still couldn't read. And you can imagine, he realized it was just a dream, like all dreams, and it just doesn't, it's nonsense, it means nothing. And you can imagine how broken he was when he sat down in the back of the shul, and he started davening whatever he knows by heart, because he can't read anyway, the little bit that he knew. But he didn't really know anything. And he sees people got up to Shemona Esri and they're shuckling and davening. And he's thinking to himself, I wish, I beg Hashem, I wish I could daven Shemona Esri like these people. I wish I could know how to do this. All of a sudden, he felt a tap. And someone whispers in his ear, don't worry, you're going to be gebenched. And he looks up and he sees it's the same person that he saw in his dream. And he nearly fainted because he realized it's not just a dream. When he heard that, he had renewed kayach, and he went over to the bookcase and took out a chumash, and he realized he was able to start reading the chumash. And he started realizing, he took out a mishnayos, and he was starting to read and understand. And he had such a high level of understanding. Everything he was able to read and understand, it was like meridik. And all of a sudden, his whole entire life changed. The kids are saying, it's a few minutes, another whole page, but akaponim. The point being is that changed everything. And that night was his chasana. He got married with the capabilities taka becoming great. And taka over time, you can imagine, he ended up becoming the Rav of Frankfurt, and he took over the haflah after he was nifta. The point being is that we have to realize this yesoid, how true it is, that from nothingness, that's where greatness comes from. Mamash from nothingness. And that's the message of Rus. How many times you don't realize in your own life how we give up and we don't believe in ourselves what we could do with all the calculations of cheshbonos of why we're allowed to give up. And we don't realize that it's not true. All those calculations are more reason why you're going to become great. All those reasons and those calculations are why you're going to see success if you don't give up. This is the yesod that we have to know. You know, someone just shared with me a very big amaisa. I want to also say, just for a second, or more than a second, whatever the amaisa takes. Let's talk a very big amaisa. I knew this yid, Rabbi Yaakov Solomon Shlita, is a rav down in Lakewood. I used to, in Flatbush, used to live in Flatbush a few blocks away from us, and we used to daven in the same shul as him. I knew him very well, this yid. So Yaakov Solomon was a yid that he ran Discovery, which is a kiruv outreach program that went ahead, he went around all over, all the United States. He went over all around giving seminars of teaching people that there's Hashem and all that. So he said over, he was once in Denver, Colorado, and he was giving a seminar, a Discovery seminar. And after he gave his whole Discovery seminar, how there's a God, a young 17-year-old boy stood up and he said, Rabbi, if it's really true what you're saying, that there is a God and God is good, could you explain to me why I have it the way I do? You know, I was 2.5 years old and the government took me away. My mother wasn't good. She had a lot of issues. And the government took me away and put me into a foster home. And you could imagine how much torture I got being brought up at a 2.5-year-old by other people in this home. And from year to year, I used to switch. I was getting thrown out. I went from home to home. I had a life of bitterness and torture. You tell me God is good and he exists? And then as I got a little older, my mother went to court and fought for me and she won. And she took me back into her house. And I got tortured by my own mother. And you're telling me there's a God and God is good? Yaakov Solomon looked and he thought to himself, I never heard such a good question in my life. You know something? He didn't say it out loud, but he thought to himself, only Hashem is going to help me answer this boy. His boy's name was Yoshi. He says, Yoshi, I want you to imagine to yourself. Hashem put this thought in his head. Yoshi, I want you to imagine to yourself. You're a 60-year-old man driving, and it's on a hot day, and you're in the mood of a good drink. So you see a Barnes & Noble on the side of the road, and you pull over. You say, you know what? I'm going to get myself a good cold drink in Barnes & Noble, and I can read a book or two and chill a little bit. And you pull over the side of the road, and you enter Barnes & Noble. When you get in there, out of curiosity, you're looking to see the latest New York Times hot sellers. And you walk over to the table to see the latest books. Enjoy with your cold drink. You pick up a book, and there's a picture of you on the cover, climbing a cliff, and it says, from despair and child abuse to personal success. My own story, Yoshi Goldberg. You can't believe the book you're picking up. Said Rabbi Solomon to this Yoshi, do you realize when the Rabbeinu Shlomo, the God that's good, gave you such a life, it's because from your despair and child abuse, you're going to write a book one day that when you're 60 years old, people are going to be reading and getting inspiration from you. What you made out of yourself from a nothingness, how you became great. So you have to realize, Yoshi, that's why the good God gave you this background. Perfectly designed for you to become great. And the whole audience, when they heard this marvelous answer, they all stood up, a standing ovation, and they started cheering, go, Yoshi, go! His 70-year-old boy who was broken felt so inspired when they heard them cheering him, telling him to go further. This is a true story that Yaakov Solomon said over. And this is mamash the yesod that we're learning today, how we have to realize it's from the broken nothingness and all the excuses and hardships of why we feel we're excused. We read about David HaMelech and Ruth on Shavuos to let us know that it's from all that garbage, kupa shel shrutzim that you have hanging on your back, that became a David HaMelech and greatness in Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem should bench us all. that we should take the Gvaldika Yontif, Habo Leinu L'Toiva, and get the inspiration of the Gvaldika Heilige Yontif of Shavuos, Kabbalas HaTorah. We should take it all in and get an inspiration of an Emes HaKabbalas HaTorah on a whole new level, that you know something? Because of my nothingness, and because of the bag of garbage that I'm carrying, that's going to be the reason why Be'ezer Hashem, I'm going to become great and successful. Mm-hmm.